All right, so we are back on the Daily Push Progression podcast. This is episode number 2. My name's Matt. I'm the founder of the Daily Push, a website dedicated to enhancing how you skate, how you feel when you skate, bringing everything in there related to just performance of skating, you know, training and nutrition, recovery, everything to basically enhance how you skate. I'm also a personal trainer, and I'm doing this podcast with the legend himself, Seb Brandon. Do you want to say something about yourself? Who are you? What are you doing here?
Well, I'm here. My name is Sebastian. Coming at you live from Phoenix, Arizona here. Strength and conditioning coach and also personal trainer, skateboarder. Been skating my whole life. And one of the things I just love to see happen is just this merging of skateboarding and performance information to enhance everybody's lives and their skateboarding at this apex. And so I'm just super happy to be here. Super happy to be part of this podcast. I'm ready to make shit happen here.
Fuck yeah. So in this episode, we're going to be going over everything to do with training for skating. Why would you want to train? How it's going to benefit your skating? How it's going to keep you feeling fresh on your board for just much longer? And we're going to be blending this one in with a little visual aid, a little visual enhancement. We got Mason Silver's new part that he just dropped on Nike that came out, I think, like 3 weeks ago. We're going to be using this to basically like help us describe why you would want to be training. We're going to be focusing on like all the different kind of stuff that he does throughout the part and how you know, how these different things can actually be trained, you know.
One of the things that I feel like we're going to be talking about all the time, especially initially, is like, especially for this population, skateboarders, is people are going to be listening and be like, why do I need this information? I don't see skateboarding as an athletic endeavor. I don't see skateboarding in that light. Why do I have to do this? And this podcast is designed to kind of open your eyes, see a little bit of a different perspective and break down skateboarding into its physical components, which just like any movement, it is. And so when you're able to break it down that way and you see, like, you know, there's like cardio components and strength components and mobility components, you're able to identify what needs to be trained and then train it, enhance it, and then you get all of the benefits in your life and also in your skating.
Yeah, totally. That's it. It's like, if you imagine skating split up into all of these different systems, like when you go skate, you don't really think about it like that, right? You just get on your board, you go out, have a session, and you don't really think like what's going on kind of like behind the scenes to like actually power your session. But there's so many different things that are going on, like Seb said, you know, like the like cardio side of things, like the power side of things. Like there's so many different systems that are kind of like, that all need to be working optimally together to like really get you skating as to power your sessions.
It's really about like, and well, we probably said it 1,000 times the first episode, we'll probably say it 1,000 times this episode too, but all of this information is designed most importantly to like increase the resiliency and like the durability and like the strength of your body. It's not good. We're not saying that you're, by going out and strengthening your quads and your glutes, that you're just going to automatically become a better skateboarder. That's not true at all. The only way to really get better at skateboarding is to skate. This information is designed to give you, put your body in the best possible state, so that when you go and you do your sessions, when you're skating, you get the most out of it, you don't feel beat up afterwards, and you're able to, you know, like repeat it over and over and over for the rest of your life.
One key way of looking at it is just like, it's not about changing skating. We're not going to be going out and just like trying to completely, you know, change the way that you skate and turn you into some like gym legend, you know. Like this is basically just about like, it's about just kind of keeping things pretty much how they were, but just like adding a bit of intelligence to it, you know what I mean? So like, we're not gonna say that you have to skate less. Like, nah, this is gonna help you skate more, and yeah, just feel, like Seb said, feel better whilst you're doing it, recover faster so then you can skate more, and yeah, that's what we're here to do.
Feel good. So physically, when we look at skateboarding, we think about like, what is it? Like, what is skateboarding physically? And like we talked about, like, it's, when you break it down, it's just the accumulation of different parts, and each part can be identified and it can be trained. And like, for example, like well-conditioned lower body muscles that are able to take the repetitive impacts and takeoffs, landings of skateboarding. You also need, in line with that, like adequate mobility and flexibility to even bend at the ankles, the knees, and the hips comfortably, to be able to flick your ankle and be able to get into these positions. Like we'll see in the Mason video, when he's popping these hard flips, he's getting his freaking front leg all the way up there. Like, if he doesn't have the adequate mobility and flexibility, that's not going to happen. And so the reason why we break this stuff down is so that we can train it, figure out what is the most important to us, and how we're going to get the most bang for our buck. And that's kind of what we're going to be talking about here today.
All right, so starting off, why should we train for skating? What are the benefits of doing it? I want to start off with a little P-Rod quote. More or less, he says, along the lines of, he sees a lot of skaters get to the age of around 23 to 24, and they start complaining about just aches and pains throughout the body, like just not feeling good, you know? But he says that he wants them to realize, like he did, that is a young age, and you don't have to be feeling like aches and pains. You don't have to be, your body doesn't have to be declining at that age, you know? Which is one of the key benefits of working out, you know? It's just basically like keeping your body just fresh, keeping it like on point and just able to handle the impact and like the stress of skating. Because man, skating is one of the most intense things that you can do on your body, you know? If you think of someone who goes out and like skates heavy gaps, like skates handrails and shit, like Mason, the video that we're gonna be explaining in a little bit, man, this puts like so much stress on the body. And if you imagine people going out and playing like badminton, these guys are training for badminton, you know? We should be training for skating as well. Like, so that's just one of the good things when it comes down to working out, is literally just that it's gonna prepare your body for skating. And yeah, one little metaphor, which I think kind of helps to kind of describe this, if you imagine like an umbrella and you go out and you got the little, like, you got your little pina colada umbrella, for example, you're going out in the rain, you got that pina colada umbrella, and you're gonna get absolutely fucking soaked, right? Like, that's not gonna give you any protection at all. And if we compare that to like a weak body, let's say, that's not that prepared for skating, goes out, skates, and just every session like comes home super just throbbing like they've never throbbed before, just pains everywhere, you know? And then like, if we then upgrade, if we compare that to like an upgraded umbrella, maybe you've got like a golf umbrella or something like that, nice big umbrella, great material, it's gonna completely protect you from the rain, you know? Like, you're not gonna get wet at all. And if we compare that to like a strong body, it's gonna be the similar thing. So you can go out, you've got that strength to just handle those stresses of skating. So yeah, they don't like do your body over so much. You don't like go home with aches and pains. You can like go out for a skate and then you don't like hit your threshold, you know? You raise that threshold. Yeah, what you got to say on that, Seb?
Yeah, I mean, I love that example so much because it is really such a great metaphor. And like, if you even think about like how much water gets on your clothes as like the amount of fatigue that you like can accumulate, that you do accumulate per session, and the bigger that umbrella is, the less water you're going to get on your body, which is the less fatigue that you're going to end up accumulating that you got to deal with, which is like
you got to drive from. Yeah,
exactly. And so like, when we talk about that umbrella, the umbrella is adequate range of motion and flexibility at all of your at your joints, especially your ankle, your knee, your hip, your back. Leg power and leg power endurance to be able to go to last like long sessions and still be able to keep your pop and keep working. Like, use the example, like skateboarding is hard. Skateboarding is difficult on the body. It's so much impact and takeoff and landing. Like, you can almost equate it to, like, it's depending on how you're skating. And you mentioned the Mason video, like a contact rugby match. Like, obviously it's not that it's not that intense and it's not in that context, but like, the body doesn't know the difference. The body takes those slams the same way. And we used this example in the last podcast, but look at rugby players. They're fucking huge. They're massive. Yeah. They got all this muscle, and like, that's like, obviously skateboarders don't need to be that big, but the fundamental idea behind that is that those muscles protect the body, the joints, they facilitate movement. And so there's, just like in sports, And skateboarding, part of that umbrella is developing relevant muscle groups. So like, you don't need to have massive biceps, 21-inch biceps. I mean, if you want to be rolling on 21s, then that's cool too. But you don't
like, I might stab this guy.
And you don't have to. But there are certain, we talk about why you should train for skateboarding and improving your umbrella. Like, there's specific muscle groups, especially in your lower body, and then even for filmers, like in the upper back and the neck, that can be trained and developed to help just facilitate skateboarding and facilitate less recovery needed post these sessions, because the body's just trained and conditioned to do these things.
Yeah, totally. I just wanted to chuck in as well that, like, one key thing to remember as well when it comes down to building strength, a lot of us, I think, we think of the only way to get strength is to, like, build huge muscle. But, like, a huge part of it, as we're going to get to in a little bit as well, is that there's that neurological aspect of it. So, like, a lot of it is just pretty much your brain just getting better at just controlling your muscles. So we're going to jump into that a little bit later on. So I just want to jump back to what Seb said about filmers as well. Think of the time when, like, you filmed, or when you've seen, like, another guy filming, the positions that they're in, you know, they spend maybe hours filming a line of, like, one kind of, like, bent over position, all their weight on, like, one leg, you know, just horrible positions. The time that you spend in that position, you're building strength in that position, right? So this is going to create imbalances through your body, and that's just one example of how those imbalances are going to be formed. You've also got, like, with just skating in general, if you imagine we spend, like, most of the time cruising around with weight on the front foot, we're basically strengthening that kind of front leg, like, a lot more than we would be the back leg.
Yeah, no, I mean, and it leads to compensations, and you used a really good example, like a really good metaphor with the umbrella before. I'm going to see if I can use another one. Like, your body's a car, and through skateboarding, through movement, through activities of daily living, all of these repetitive movements that, like, put you in these, like, these positions, that's kind of like just little thing, like little wear and tear on your car, like turning the axle a little bit, like just bending it a little bit, or moving a wheel out of place, or like something in the engine just kind of turning just enough to affect the running of the actual machine. And so all these things, can you still drive the car? Yes, 100%. Will you still be able to skate and move? Yes, 100%. But now, because things are starting to move out of line, it creates wear and tear. So, like, that car is not going to last as long and not work as well as one that had all of those things tightened up and in the right place. And so your body is the exact same way. We go back to, like, why you train for skating is naturally over time, your body is going to create these imbalances and compensations just by the nature of moving and doing these things. And so you want to make sure that you're doing the stuff, developing the muscles, getting things conditioned, maintaining your range of motion and flexibility so that you keep everything aligned and you reduce that wear and tear.
That's it. And you're basically, like, balancing out those imbalances, right? Like, another classic example is the kind of bent over position, which we spend so much time in, like, sitting down event as well. And we get up on our boards. We're also, like, spend so much time, like, kind of curled over, like, to pop tricks and all that. And and as a result, we end up with, like, underdeveloped muscles along the back of your body and, like, overdeveloped muscles on, like, the front, kind of simplification there. But more or less, that's what goes on.
Bouncing this stuff out, we'll always touch back on it. What we're looking for here is just building resiliency in your body and allowing you to skate longer, skate harder, get more quality sessions, not feel like you're beat up all the time. That's why we train for skating.
That's it. And that's also exactly why Neen says he trains for skating as well. He said, I can't remember the exact quote, something along the lines of, like, so I can skate harder, faster, stronger, and something else.
There it is.
The pros are doing it. Man, so many pros are starting to work out these days. You're starting to see so many more in America and that, and not so much in Europe. Actually, you've got, like, Danny LeBron over here. He works out pretty hardcore. But yeah, it's sick to see, like, so many pro skaters out there in America, like, starting to work out and, like, see the benefits of it, you know?
Yep, 100%. Bringing it to the masses. But I have, on a completely side note, I've trained a lot of American athletes, but I've also trained a bunch of European athletes. And I will say that, just, like, in line with what you said, like, I feel like weight training, like, real, like, in that sense, especially for a lot, like, sports like tennis or, like, skateboarding or a lot of these other sports, weight training and stuff like that hasn't really, like, gotten to them yet. Like, hasn't been, like, accepted.
In Europe,
as
you mean?
Yeah.
I buy into that for sure. Yeah, the Americans are more, like, competitive, maybe, no?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, because it all like trickles down from, like, football, like American football strength and conditioning, which is basically like, get big, get strong, kill people. It's like, but that's why like a lot of people, especially in, like, skateboarders and people in America, have kind of ignored or kind of pushed that information to the side because it has always been kind of like...
Yeah, like, the jock mentality.
Yeah. So it's like, that's why I love stuff like this, because we're kind of... Hopefully, we're starting to show that this information doesn't have to be like delivered in that context, and that you can use it like in any athletic or physical activity.
Yeah. And that, I just want to drop as well that the next podcast, like part two of this one, is going to be exactly on like how you can train for skating. We're going to be going over a load of different ways on like the different ways that you can actually like apply all the information in this podcast to actually training in the next podcast. We're going to give you like a little exercise program. Going to give you everything. We're going to give you one of the umbrellas that we've been talking about in the podcast. Oh,
everybody gets an umbrella.
Daily Push podcast umbrellas.
Honestly, those would be kind of sick. I'd be down with that. I live in the desert,
like
so
the most,
I don't need
it. Most like random product ever to sell. Like. One other like super important benefit that comes from working out and just training in general is longevity. Just like your ability to skate when you're old and saggy. Staying on your board, skating much longer, like P-Rob was saying, you know, 23, 24, nah, that's way too young. You should be able to be pushing long into the future. And yeah, man, how long do you think, like, if you trained, how old do you think would be the oldest that you could keep skating?
I mean, bro, like people might think that I'm exaggerating, but I have personally seen like the benefits and the potential with some of this stuff, especially with like consistency. Because when you start talking about this stuff and like building a strong body, you start to, because skateboarding is intense. It's violent in some cases, but
it's aggressive.
It's aggressive. But when you train and strengthen, when you train and strengthen your body, you, number one, decrease the likelihood of getting injured, and then you also decrease the severity of the inevitable injuries. It's not you're never going to get hurt, but the how bad they are or how long you have to recover from them, that can be decreased. And so you take all these factors into consideration. You say you take a 23-year-old who's listening to this stuff and they're going to start implementing this on a consistent basis. They've decreased the amount of times they're actually going to get injured, and their body doesn't have to deal with like huge amounts of accumulated fatigue. Bro, 100? 150? You could skate forever, dude. That's what I'm saying. That's what this whole thing is. You could skate forever.
I actually heard that like we're already living amongst the first person that's going to live to 1,000. Because of the technology that's available today, but let's say it increases the lifespan by 10 years. But then in that like extra 10 years, that's enough time to discover like the thing that's going to increase the lifespan by like 50 years.
Right.
And then, the chain just goes on. So who knows, mate? Maybe you can keep skating till you're 1,000.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm just putting it out there, you know? I could imagine like Nene Williams just like 1,000-year-old. Just like, yeah.
Yes. But like still looks exactly the same. Like hasn't like just the only thing that's changed is like his hair is just gray. Like still as shredded as he is now. But that's it. No other changes.
He's like the last skater on the planet. Everyone like skating's died out. It's just like Nene. Skate forever, man.
Just heel flipping all over the world.
Oh man.
So we talked about what this podcast actually is, and this episode is about really just like opening our eyes, the collective eyes, to the component, like the physical components of skateboarding, so that you can kind of like rationalize and see how the training ties in. And you can see skateboarding not just as skateboarding, but as like these different parts. I think it'll be a lot easier to digest a lot of this information. So like there's always going to be, with activity, a fitness component. There's a fitness component, like a cardio component with skateboarding. There's two kind of main types or areas. There's going to be like our classic aerobic system, which is basically just the system that's on all the time. That helps not only fuel your long sessions, but also like help you recover in between like efforts, lines, tricks, and stuff like that. But the more important one, I feel like, one that can like really be trained and targeted, and that can really help enhance the quality of your sessions, is kind of like this power endurance, what they call like anaerobic type of fitness, which is basically just a way of saying you're now you're working at intensity where your muscles are starting to generate fatigue at a rate that that it can't be like basically like thrown out. Like your body will, as you create fatigue, have different systems in place. A lot of it's like your aerobic system to kind of get that fatigue away from your body so you can keep working. But skateboarding, as you know, it generates a lot of fatigue, especially at your lower body. And as that starts to accumulate, you start to lose power. And so feeling quality sessions would be about enhancing your power endurance, just basically your body's ability to contract your muscles and work at velocity consistently over time. That's going to be a key one of that fitness component.
Yeah, if you think about it in as like each system being able to supply like a certain amount of energy at a certain speed, for example. So your aerobic system is pretty slow provider of energy, but on the other hand, it's got like an unlimited supply. So it completely just keep you pushing, mate. You could push, you could. How far could they push, Seb? You tell them.
Well, I mean, I'll give it. I will. Let me tell you. There's a reason why our desert hunter gatherer ancestors were able to take down deer and antelope on foot. It's because they could outlast them. They could, because they had a more developed aerobic system, they could run for hours and hours and hours. Imagine running after a deer until it gives up. You're the one not giving up. And that's what the human capacity has, and that's what the aerobic system allows us to be able to do.
Fucking hell. Because you think that we killed them all with like spears and shit like that, but nah, like at the end of the day, a lot of it was literally just running them out until they collapsed.
which is fucking crazy. But that's that, like you said, like infinite energy, man. That's what the aerobic system gives us.
So yeah, the other energy systems, the high powered energy systems, basically these ones, they can supply a shitload of energy in a short amount of time. So they can supply high amounts of energy super fast. The drawback of these ones, though, is they can't supply them for so long. So you're not going to be able to, like, sprint after that deer. Obviously, you know, it's going to get away from you at the start. But that's when, like Seb said, the aerobic system kicks in and you can just outpace it. So these systems are going to, like, run out fast. The first system out of these two, like, I don't know if you guys want the names. I'm just going to say anyway, like, ATP, CP system. It's only going to last literally, like, 15 seconds max of, like, all-out, high-powered speed. And then you've got the other one, which is going to last you about 60 to 90 seconds. It's not going to supply as fast energy, but you're still going to be going pretty fast. I'm just going to quickly bring in, like, an example when it comes down to skating. If you imagine you're on, like, a perfectly mellow, gradual, downhill slope, and you just pop, just over and over and over and over and over and over again. That first pop, are you going, like, popping as high as you can? Like, that first pop, it's going to be less, I don't know how high it's going to be. It's going to be as high as you can pop. But then, like, as you keep going on, you know, maybe a third pop, you're already going to be, like, losing that height. That's because your body can't supply the energy that you're asking it to do that same height pop. And then, like, you keep going, you know, maybe you get, now you're 60 to 90 seconds in, your pop is going to be much, 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 much lower. And it's really just to do with that your body just can't supply, like, the energy at the speed you're asking it to supply it at. So we're gonna now bring in our first Mason example. This is the visual part of the podcast. For those who don't have a video playing device at hand, we'll describe it for you, so don't worry. We're gonna basically just give you a little example from Mason's part of like these different systems that we're talking about. So we've got at 13 seconds in, or about 12 seconds in. So he's going, like, he's pushing super fast, taking, like, 5 or 6 max effort pushes. Actually, to be honest, for him, I'd even think they're, like, max effort. I mean, for the average person, that would be, like, the max push. But, man, for him, I reckon he's got some extra push power in him, you know? Anyway, pops up the curb, upper bank, wall ride, shove out, back into the bank. Man, beast. So this is a super high-powered line, right? So he's really, really going for it. And if he didn't have that system, those kind of max high-powered systems trained, by the time he gets to the time of actually, like, popping the shove off the wall, he's already going to have generated enough fatigue to kind of, like, inhibit his ability to actually do that trick.
That first line is a perfect example of, like, this anaerobic energy system that we're talking about and how it would facilitate him being able to do that line. Like, you could see pushing hard, creating fatigue, and then it's a quick ollie up to the curb, and then up into the bank. than having to land and absorb, and the fact that he's able to keep his posture, keep his pop, stay in control, that's what you're looking at as like a well-conditioned anaerobic system, the ability to do that. Now, when you talk about, we go back to like the other one, the aerobic system, in that case, what we didn't see, like, hey, maybe that was a first try. Maybe that didn't take him that many tries. But say it did, say it took 15, 20 tries, that aerobic system is what's going to allow the recovery in between those tries. Like if your aerobic system isn't well conditioned, or you're taking too short of a rest, you're not even giving it enough time to recover in between, then like you talked about, those pops, everything, that fatigue is going to be less and less every single time. And so having a well conditioned aerobic system is going to allow you to repeat those efforts when you need to, because not all of us are hitting it first try, you know what I'm saying?
That's it. And I guess that's one thing that we didn't mention, which is super important, is that basically with these energy systems, the reason why you're like unable to just keep using them is because of that fatigue that's kind of like building up. So that can even be because you've literally just used the actual energy that's available, but it can also be because there's like waste products that are developed that's going to inhibit that energy system's ability to then like create further energy. When it comes down to training, a big part of it is, yeah, you can increase the capacity to like store more energy in the systems, but as well, it's about clearing out the fatigue and just making it like more resistant to the fatigue, you know? And yeah, that's where the aerobic system comes in as well, clearing out some of that fatigue and all that shit.
Yep. I'll go back to that car example as well. Like the kind of think of your muscles like your engine, and when your muscles activate and move, they create like you said, like waste, like it's your engine does the same thing. And so there's a system in place within your engine to filter that shit out so that it doesn't affect the function of the engine. And your aerobic system is that filter. Your aerobic system is what filters out that kind of waste and product and acid that just occurs naturally from moving your muscles, especially at a high intensity. Those shorter durations, like those really intense movements, that's where it's going to come into play the most.
Yeah, totally, man. I want to bring in another clip from the Mason video. So we're going to go to 58 seconds in. This is another prime example of the energy systems at work, right? So I've actually counted this line, the time that it took.
Ooh.
Yeah. This is a 14 second line, but if you check the speed that he's going already, like he's going pretty fucking fast already. So like no doubt he's already been pushing for a solid like 2 or 3 seconds. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna call this a 17 second line. So this is, alright, I'm just gonna play it, alright? Okay, so he's coming in super fast, he pops like super high up on the crook on the bench.
Fuck.
Takes another super fast push, front tail fakey, pop out, ooh, yep. Delicious, never push.
Does he switch tray in here? Yep.
Switch tray, boom.
Aye.
Another push. He's going faster. And the last trick, he does fakey Manny, 180 yep. out. The last trick, like, that's a high Manny pad. And I don't know if you ever tried to do, like, fakey Manny. To pop into a fakey Manny, you need to pop extra high to, like, land in that Manny, you know? Yep. So, yeah, like, when he gets to that last trick, he needs to still have, like, that high power available to actually, like, be able to do the trick, you know?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Sick line,
no? Yeah, let's watch it again.
That's true, but it's like it goes right back into what we were talking about. Like if he doesn't have an adequate level of, like we're talking about, like this anaerobic conditioning, like his like muscular power endurance, this line doesn't happen. Like he doesn't make it to this ledge, to the mani pad. He doesn't get up there. He doesn't even get up to that second bench. When he hits, let's see, I'm trying to, when he hits that tail slide, damn, he's hitting the top of the bench both times, popping it clean, boys. And that's the thing, like, that a well-conditioned system will allow you to get those clean, nice pops every single time versus, like, trying to, like, battle your way through it, like, will your way through it.
That's it, like, that looked like nothing to him.
Dude, it's wild, and I like that you made the point that, like, he's already coming in super hot when that line starts, which means that he was pushing beforehand as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Line can go back, like, it goes back to, like, that example with, like, you're going down just, like a light incline or decline, and you're just popping, 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 popping. And your, how conditioned that system is, the system that we're talking about, will dictate like the consistency of the height of that pop. And right there in that line, you see like pure consistency. 17 second line, probably not the first thing that he's done that day, so there's already some fatigue building up, but he's able to still hit those heights, get the tricks done. That's definitely a well-conditioned aerobic system, anaerobic system.
Yeah, you made a good point as well when you said if the energy isn't available, he's not going to be able to like do those tricks. And I think that's a thing that skaters often don't realize. Like, they often just expect their body to just be able to skate at like any second of the day, regardless of what they've done. They should just be able to skate, you know. But nah. Nah, mate, sorry, but like, if you've blasted your energy tank, like, what the fuck, how are you gonna power your trick? You're not, mate. You're not gonna power it, alright? So you know.
Pay attention. Right.
Exactly. Alright, and I wanna just bounce back as well, because go to 20 seconds through. This is a prime example. Obviously, we've talked about, you know, the aerobic system recharging those energy, those high powered systems as well. But if we go to 20 seconds in and we watch what happens, he's just having a nice little stroll. It's literally him just walking. He walks for like a second with his board in his hand. Yep. And then the next clip, he's just like cruising. I don't know what he's like, enjoying the sun or something, I don't know. Pretty much doing nothing. He's just chilling. And that is another example of where the aerobic system would take over, like really low energy requirements for that kind of like just chilled, cruising, whatever. Prime example of the aerobic system.
Yep. Realizing that, like we talked about, it's going to provide basically infinite energy for low intensity activity. But with training, you could start to like increase, number one, like the intensity that you could maintain. So you could even start to push that aerobic ceiling a little bit higher and higher and higher, so that higher intensity things still fall within that aerobic thing, which is, that's like exactly what you want.
You can like offload those higher intensities to that unlimited supply, saving extra energy in those other tanks.
That's what I'm talking about. And that's the key here. So even like realizing that walking, low intensity skating, stuff like that, that's gonna fall in. But why you train is you can also make it so that a lot more of your skating and your training falls within that aerobic all the time, go forever system.
Don't forget, next podcast, we're going to be going deep into like how you can train these different systems and all that. So yeah, don't worry. It's coming.
So we talked about the fuel and like how your body actually gets the energy it needs to move. But there's another component almost like down from that, which is like the actual muscles that are used in skateboarding and moving to actually facilitate these things. And so we talk about skateboarding specifically, because now it comes back to like, why? Why am I training? Well, there are muscles that work for skateboarding that need to be developed, that will do the work for you, that will do what you're asking it to do as far as popping, landing, absorbing force, flicking, pushing, holding yourself in position. All of these muscles are designed to do those things. So you think about like basically all your lower body muscles, like your calves, the muscle on the front of your leg, the front of your lower leg, which is like, they call it your tibialis anterior, which is what pulls your foot up. Your quads, muscles in the front of the leg, your hamstrings, glutes, your hip flexors, the muscles that bring your knee up, your core muscles, your back and like upper back and neck muscles. We talked about filmers. These are all muscle groups that get used, so they need to get trained. If they don't get trained, then they still get used. They're basically being constantly asked to do a job that they're not quite prepared for. And so they're going to start creating, that's always going to push them into a level of fatigue. They're going to start tightening up. They're going to start basically giving you reasons to stop working because they're overworked and they don't want to work anymore. And so that's where like the muscle development type stuff comes in, is attacking and developing those muscles that help you move.
That's also where like the compensations come in, right? If they're like, you know, yep, not built for the job, you're going to get like other muscles taken over, or like, you know, you're going to fall into kind of like dodgy movement patterns and stuff as well. It's just creating stress where you don't want it. And
it's a huge piece of it, like you kind of just mentioned, is muscles create balance and stability at your joints. So like your knee joint, the stability of your knee joint is a large part and a factor of the balance between your quads, muscles on the front of the leg, and your hamstrings, muscles on the back. And so if there's an imbalance there, that's going to start pulling things out of alignment. And that's going to basically predispose that joint to wear and tear that wouldn't necessarily be there if you had those muscles in balance and they were doing their job and helping stabilize and stuff like that. So that's a huge piece of it as well, is taking care of your joints as skateboarders. Like, I feel like that's like the most important piece as far as you talk about like longevity.
Yeah, totally. And as well, just like taking the impact and like pressure off the joints as well, right? Because if you imagine you've got that kind of imbalance going on, a classic one would be at the knee, where the knee would like bend in. If you're creating force with it kind of bent into the side, you're creating a force at an angle that's creating stress at a different point of the joint where you don't really want it as well. So not only like can be building strength kind of help to take out the stress on the joints this way by like, you know, sorting out your alignment, but also getting the muscles to like do the work and absorb the force so your joints don't have to. So it's taking that stress off the joints, you know?
Yep, 100%. And these muscles, so the development of these muscles, like at baseline, those are those main things that are going to facilitate movement, and then they're going to help stabilize and create like control at your joints, just like stability at the joints. And it's also, these muscles are also going to be like your base for your strength. So we kind of mentioned it earlier, where we sometimes think about like strength training and conditioning and stuff like that. And we think about like bodybuilders and powerlifters, and people got to be like, you got to be fucking huge. And that's not the case. Some people do need to be huge based on their sport, but skateboarding is not one of those things. You need an adequate amount of muscular development to do the things that we talked about before. And then as far as strength, it goes back to like what you talked about. It's about handling like the physical demands of skateboarding, impacts, takeoffs, landings. That's where your strength, your total body strength and resiliency is going to come in. And how that kind of looks different from like muscular development training is, you touched on it earlier too, is this is more about getting the muscle fibers that you already have to fire as more totally and more powerfully. That's kind of like what strength training trains your body to do. So it's not about getting necessarily bigger, even though you do need a certain base of muscles to train and improve your strength. But strength is more about using what you already have more efficiently with more force.
Yeah, this is, for me, when I first learned about this stuff, I was so amazed by how interesting it is that, like, at the end of the day, when it comes down to building strength, so many of the benefits just come from your brain activating more of that muscle. So if you imagine, like, I go out and skate and I can only activate, like, 50% of my muscle, for example, but then I go and, like, train or, like, you know, skate, say, bigger gaps, and I prepare my body more for that. I teach my body to activate, like, more of the muscle. So now maybe I'm activating, like, 80% of the muscle, right? So it's like I've got that extra strength that was already there inside of me, but it was just kind of like lying dormant. You know what I mean? It was like I had the power, but I just couldn't activate it. This is as well where you hear like those crazy stories about like people lifting the cars off the mums and stuff like this, right? The cars off the
car. Imagine like a little infant child. It's like, yeah, mom, I got you. This is my strength.
Oh, dude, that would be so funny. Yeah, so if you imagine like a mom trapped under a car, like when the little kid comes along and it's like able to just lift so much more than it would normally because, you know, it's got the ability to lift that, but it's just it hasn't been kind of trained, you know? If anyone that's never trained before, this is going to be extra useful for you because a lot of those gains that you're going to get when you start training are going to come from literally just these neural adaptations as opposed to like actually building the muscle size, you know? So you're going to notice huge improvements at the start just from like a small amount of training.
Because it's a benefit of not having any training experience is like when you start training, like you said, you're not going to need a lot to get to see like benefits right off the bat. They call them the newbie gains, which is great. And when we talk about strength and how it applies to skateboarding and how you like just different ways that we break it down, like you can look at even just like a movement, let's say like a squat, for example, or like even just like loading down to get ready to pop for a trick. Exactly, yeah. Exactly. There's basically three different phases. There's the lowering portion, so like your body needs enough strength to not only get yourself into that lowered position, but also be able to maintain your posture to hold tension so that you can create power out of it. So that's that lowering portion. Then you've got that bottom portion where you're at, there's a small minute, not minute, like there's a small moment, not minute. Can you imagine?
Minute. Where like time just stops and it's just you at the bottom of your pop, just like.
Can you imagine? That would be a fun. I mean, I feel like I've seen like, you know, those videos where like it's like the endless run up, like doesn't never actually like put the board down, just like runs past the.
It's
like the same thing, just like somebody skating, just like getting ready to load, just like sitting there for a fucking minute. A moment. There's a moment at the bottom, depending on how quickly you need to pop or so on and so forth, where you're actually having to hold your body in what they call like an isometric position. And that's another aspect of strength, being able to just hold and stabilize and maintain your posture, which you would think, oh, I could fucking do that. But for a lot of people, you get them into like a squat or that bottom position of a pop and ask them to hold that for more than like 10, 15 seconds, it's going to start to get real, real hard. So that's that second one, that kind of like that pause strength. And then you have the last one, which is kind of like our segue into power, which is the actual upwards motion, which is the what they call like concentric strength. And that, being able to develop that, raises your ceiling to produce power. So like you can only produce as much power as you are strong, if that makes sense. So like every time you make gains in strength, your potential to produce power starts to raise as well. But your power can't get past your level of strength. So if you have no strength, you have no base of strength from not like training or anything like that, that's going to be a huge potential benefit, is being able to improve your power by improving your strength.
Yeah, totally. And like linking them back all together. So you've got basically, when we're talking about like muscular development and kind of, you know, really, let's say adding on a little bit of muscle, getting on a little bit of size, that extra size is then going to give you more muscle to then use to generate strength. So you've got extra muscle to generate that extra strength. And then because you've got that extra strength, now you can use that and translate it into power. Like, that's when you can really like start to pop your tricks, when you got like that extra power, you know?
I think it's a super like important way to like to look at it, as it all kind of meets at the top. Like, here's skateboarding. Here's like the ability to, and for people who aren't watching, like below that, is the ability to create power, repeated power efforts over a sustained amount of time. Underneath that is
just with those energy systems, right?
Exactly. With those two energy systems. Underneath that is just the ability to produce power, which is just be able to move fast with pop, which is a result of being able to have strength, which is a result of having adequate muscular development. So like you get to see how all of these things are connected, and they all can stand to affect and create change at that top level.
Which is skating, you know?
Skating.
Skating, that's bro.
That's the key.
Skateboarding. Okay, so we're going to go now check out some more Mason clips. So we're going for minute 308. What have we got? All right, so yeah, there's a lot of like bump to bar spots in this video, I noticed. This one that we're checking out, he does it like this, man, such a beautiful varial heel over this like really small kicker, and then straight over like a super high bar. Like, man, it's fucking like the height of that bar is insane, right? It's insane.
God damn. And I love varial heels, man. They just look so nice.
And the way he catches it as well, he like kind of catches it with the front foot, then the back of the board like drops down. It really reminds me of this legend from back in the day, Carlos de Andrade. I don't know if you know that guy. Man, he was like, he used to do the sickest trays ever, where he had such a unique style of tray, where he would basically like catch it with the front foot, but then like the back of the board would like drop down like this barrier hill, you know? So it would almost like, the back wheels would almost hit the floor before his back foot actually like connects with the board, you know?
Yeah. Man. But he's still got that contact with the front wheels. Like, he still caught it with the front foot initially.
Yeah.
Oh, it just looks so nice, dude.
Oh, dude, when you get the second angle, oh man, so good. Yeah, so this is like a perfect example. What have we got here? We've got all, like Seb was saying, you know, about those three different phases of the squat. You've got like eccentric, he's bending down, and he bends down like super low. He's like coming down to the bottom. When he's in that bottom position, he's in that isometric position. So he's like there for a little millisecond, you know, and then boom, he comes straight up. Concentric phase comes up, blasts it over the bar, you know?
So you touched on eccentric a little bit. I mean, with the initial portion of that, and then we can also talk about like how strength ties into the landing. So like he's coming up, that's a pretty high drop that he's coming down from, and the whether or not that landing, the force of that landing is absorbed by his joints or his muscles is based on, like we talked about, that muscular development. Number one, does he even have the relevant muscles developed? And number two, does he have the eccentric strength, the ability to land lower and absorb without losing stability, without losing posture and stuff like that, which, there's a reason why we use him as an example, because he does it so freaking well, man.
And skating gaps, you know, there's such high forces that happen when you're, like, really absorbing the impact. Man, the forces are insane. I found this really sick old YouTube channel that was made from like STI Labs. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was like a Soltech lab who owned like Etnies in America and all that. And they had this lab back in the day where they'd set up these force plates at the bottom of like a tent stair or something like this. Mm-hmm. And they were basically measuring like the force that you would create when you're like hitting the ground. Man, it was really fucking interesting. But the videos are like 12 years old and they stopped doing it. But they showed, man, the impact was something like 17 times body weight just jumping down from like a 10 stair, you know? So man, there's so much force happening on that impact when you're like coming down and really landing that we don't really even think about, you know? And yeah, like Seb said, you know, having that strength there is really gonna like not only help you actually land your tricks and like roll away from your tricks because you've got the strength to control that force, but as well, like taking the stress off the joints, you know, that's huge.
Damn, I knew that like there's a lot of force that has to get absorbed when you're landing from like a higher gap or a higher ledge, but yeah, like I didn't even think about it as like a certain amount of times your body weight. Like think about like you just like how much force you just have to absorb by just like walking around, like very very little, basically just your body weight. But like now you take the acceleration of gravity into consideration. Damn, dude. So that's it, man. Like that. Like do you need another reason why to strengthen and build your body up? Your skateboarding is, it's aggressive. We talked about this. And you want your body to be able to handle that, man. Oh, it's awesome.
That's it. That's where longevity comes back into it as well. You know, the more that you like are able to just handle the insane stresses of skating, the longer that you're going to be able to skate when you're old and saggy. Like,
boom. That's it.
There it is. All right, we're going to bring in another clip now from Mason. We're going to go to 512. I'm pretty sure this is another bump to bar clip. Man, bump to bars are gnarly as well because like the ones that you're skating, if you just get your toes caught on the bar, you're going down. There's no amount of strength training that's gonna protect you from that.
Nope.
So yeah, 512, it's a bump over a rail to a bump. And he does fakie full cab flip. Oh, like from the bump over this huge like handrail size rail, and then man back into the other bank. Oh, and he lands it so fucking good. Like no revert, just like an absolutely, a little revert. Oh, like man. Absolutely solid, solid landing. But man, oh, so beautiful.
Dude, and it like really, really is. And like, I want to bring in another reason where like how strength comes into play. We kind of touched on it, but like if he doesn't have the adequate eccentric strength, the ability to lower isometric strength, to be able to hold yourself in that position, there's no way that he can keep the stability and the posture of his body once he hits that bump to be able to pop that trick in a way that actually gets him to land it. Because if he's not strong enough, he doesn't get low enough to be able to pop it, number one. But then he also can't even stabilize himself in that bottom position to be able to have a foundation to pop off of. And so because he has this, he's able to get onto this bank. Oh my God. Like, look at his feet, man. Like, no slipping, nothing. Everything is controlled. But it's a powerful, powerful movement that involves a full cab, and he's still able to land it, stick it, can't get that cash money.
Yeah, man, that's such a good point about the stability as well. If you imagine, like, when you're going down to pop a trick, you're pushing straight off the ground. The harder you can push into the ground, the faster you're going to come up, right? The more power you're going to be able to generate. But if he doesn't have that stability there in the bottom, for whatever reason, maybe, like, his knee goes in or whatever, he's going to affect his body's ability to push into the ground. Yep. And generate that power. So if you imagine as well, maybe like a better way of thinking of it, if it's like trying to jump on a boat.
Yeah.
The ground isn't solid, right? So when you like go to jump, the boat's going to move, and that's going to absorb some of your kind of like push power, and you're not going to be able to pop so high. So yeah, having that like stability at the bottom, brah, that's where the power is really going to be generated.
That's a really good example, because I like you have to have, you've got to, for these big pops to be able to get over these, some of these rails and get these gaps, like you need to be jumping off a solid foundation, not out of a boat. And the solid foundation is your strength. It's such a good example.
Don't skate on a boat.
Don't skate in boats. I mean,
man, I've got a picture of myself doing a crooked grind on a bench on a boat that's sailing down the Amazon River.
That's kind of wild.
I'm not even joking about it. I was like, dude, I saw the bench, I had my board, and I was like, man, this would be the sickest picture ever to get like a crook on the bench with like the Amazon in the background.
Oh shit.
I was skating and like the people come up and they're like, what are you doing? Like you can't skate it. It was like, it was a metal floor, you know, and it was just like banging. Like, so loud, like down below. And they came out and I was just like, oh, I'm just trying to get a picture. And they were like, okay, cool. Like they let me do it.
Damn, you should definitely throw that picture on the screen for people.
Yeah, I'll get that. This.
I would like to see that. That sounds fucking sick. So one piece that will stay. So we're gonna stand this clip at 512. This full cab over the handrail. We've talked about like cardio system, like how your body creates energy, strength, how that relates to power, muscle development, stuff like that. We kind of touched just now on stability and how being able to have a strong enough body and stable enough joints is gonna allow you to produce force on a stable surface versus like using the boat example versus trying to like jump on a boat. But there's also, when you talk about your joints, a level of mobility and flexibility that's needed to be able to get into some of these positions. And so Mason is another great example, because he's getting these massive pops. He's loading his lower body really, really low. And that's not going to be able to happen, not on a consistent basis and not comfortably, unless he's got adequate mobility or range of motion at his ankle, at his knee, at his hip, at his low back. If those things are, and those are all a kind of like a result of flexibility, like muscle flexibility at like your quads, your hamstrings, your calves, your back muscles, all that stuff, your neck. If those things have a lot of tone, then you're not going to have a lot of mobility and mobility movement at those joints. So him as an example is great, because to get into those positions, you need to be able to bend your joints comfortably, especially your ankles and your hips. And that's what allows him to get so much power, is he's able to load and lengthen and create tension in those muscles, and then fucking power that shit up.
That's it. I guess there's one thing we didn't completely mention as well in the section talking about power, but as well, like that ability to really stretch the muscle and like the, you know, the tendon and all the connective tissue and that, basically like stretch and then snap it back, which helps create like a lot of additional force. You've got like the muscle kind of contracting to create the force, but you've also got like that stretch that kind of like charges the muscle so it can snap back, you know? So it's like an elastic band kind of thing. Stretch it and then boom.
Yep, and if you've got restrictions and limitations as far as muscle flexibility, like certain muscles aren't like don't lengthen past a certain point, then you're already, based on that, going to be limited in how much power you can produce, how deep you can get, because the muscles do work like that, like your rubber band. They stretch as you load, create, they have like a lot of potential energy, and then when you actually go to move, you get the force of your muscle contracting, but you also get the added tension of those muscles lengthening out and then contracting.
And yeah, I think this is a good point as well to like just chuck in about injuries and like not properly rehabbing your injuries. This is one of like the key areas where you can lose range of motion and stuff like that. You know, if you say sprain your ankle and you never do any kind of rehab, you never like work on like rebuilding strength and like mobility and stuff like that, you can end up with a limited range of motion, you know? And that can lead to like further injuries in the future. And it can also lead to stuff we're saying now about like losing power and stuff like that too.
Yeah, I'll give an example of that. Well, I'll go back to the car example, and this is something that I saw a lot, like a lot in athletics is say you fat, let's fast forward first to somebody who, and I'm not like, don't want to mean to be like downer, but just as an example, fast forward to somebody who's torn an ACL. A lot of times, which is like the ligament in your knee, a classic, like a connective ligament that helps with knee stability that a lot of times will get like torn or damaged with rotation or lack of stability at the knee joint. A lot of times, when you look like way forward before that thing happened, there was some type of like more minor injury, usually to the ankle, that never got taken care of, that predisposed that person to start damaging the knee. So like if your ankle's not working, that means that it's not absorbing force in the right way, in an effective way, which means that it's also not pulling itself into that alignment that you're talking about. Like the body wants to load and absorb in a straight line mostly, which means that now the ankle's not doing its job, which means the knee now has to take care of a lot, has to do a lot more work, which puts a lot more stress on those connective ligaments. And next thing you know, now you're starting to do damage on a regular basis to those. It's a torn, a torn or a damaged connective ligament in your knee is way more intense than a sprained ankle. But that's where it can lead you if you have an injury like that where it's, you feel like it's something minor, but you don't take care of it, and you're like, you know, I'm a little restricted, but it is what it is. I can still skate. That's a reason why you want to make sure you maintain your adequate range of motion and flexibility, is because the body will start to absorb force and put itself in shitty positions to compensate without you even really knowing.
Yeah, exactly, man. So well put. So well put. So another perfect little example about mobility is at second 54 in the Mason clip. Oh, man. So for this one, he's going like high speed, super fast up to this pretty long bank. And then he pops like the most beautiful hard flip you've ever seen over this yellow bar. So it's like a little kind of bump to bar situation. I mean, he's got like a good solid like 2.5 meter drop. I don't know what that is in your feet language, maybe 6 feet?
for us Americans out here.
But man, it's the most beautiful thing ever. But okay, so why is this in the mobility section? I mean, obviously there's a lot of speed. He's using those energy systems to like get the speed to do the trick. Popping hard, he needs power to get over, but he needs that eccentric strength to really like land and absorb the force of that trick. And then you've got like a shitload of mobility as well, not only in like when he goes down and bends down to pop the trick, but if you actually look at his flicking leg, the hip on that front leg has got an insane amount of mobility as well to like actually get his foot round. So he kind of like internally rotates his hip a lot, and then he brings his heel way up to his ass, so he's like fucking touching his ass, curves it back round, and then like gets it on the board. So there's like so much hip mobility going on to like really flick that trick. And one thing that I notice a lot when people do hard flips, they always need like, or not always, there's like a few different ways of doing it, but like for a lot of people, they internally rotate their hip a lot. So that's basically like, if you imagine turning your heel out away from your body, your hip like turns in, and they basically like do that motion to kind of like get the foot around the board for hard flips.
Mm-hmm.
My hard flips suck, and I've got like a really limited amount of internal rotation. It's always like just a structural thing. But yeah, that mobility that he's got there on the hip allows him to basically do that trick as well as he does it, and with the kind of style that he has.
It allows him to stay in position. So like what sticks out to me the most on this is the position that he gets into when he like first catches it, where he's got that lead leg, like the knee is all the way up at the chest.
Yeah,
he's got you've got that internal rotation, but if he doesn't have enough mobility and flexibility at the hip, what ends up, the only way that he's going to be able to bend all the way is that his low back is going to have to tuck underneath to get his knees high enough, which pulls him completely out of position, which means that this trick is not going to happen. So the fact that he has the mobility at his hip to get that knee all the way up to the chest, internally rotate and catch that board without pulling himself out of position, that's the fucking key here. That's where the mobility and the flexibility comes in. Is, oh my god, this catch is so beautiful. It's literally so beautiful. It's amazing, dude.
Yeah, I've like paused it on the catch, but it's, yeah.
No,
like,
me too.
Like what you said with the knee up to the, like, it's in his face.
Yeah.
I bet he's had some slams where he's kneed himself in the face.
Yep. Oh, I bet.
And I think as well, this is like a really important point to bring up when it comes down to mobility as well, because it's not just about being like extra mobile. It's also about like having the strength in those mobile positions, so you can actually like control that kind of flexibility. Because if you imagine, like, he's got all that mobility, he's like one of those blow up men with that like flail around like this, you know, like go, what are they called, like the inflatable flailing tube man from Family Guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like yeah, whatever. Like if you've got like all this crazy mobility, but you don't have the strength to like control it, then it's essentially useless. You're not gonna be able to generate that full power. And for him to like lift his knee up to his chest, he needs to have the strength to be able to control that range of motion, to like bring his knee to his chest. He needs the strength there.
And it's, I'll always bring it back to tries. Like, so many of these things, these tricks and these lines in your own life and in these skaters' lives, like, don't happen in a vacuum, as far as there's multiple attempts that are going on. So you can imagine, like, to be able to continually raise that knee up, use your hip flexors over and over and over and over again. If he doesn't have adequate muscular, like, endurance to kind of go all the way back to what we were talking about, just to kind of finish this up, like, he is going to be limited in how many attempts he's going to be able to do. Or if you even take it completely, not even in that context, like, if you take it to, like, he's just working flat ground and he's trying to just work on his hard flips and get the technique that he needs. If his hip flexors only have 10 reps in them, then that's it. You only got 10. And so being able to condition, all of these things tie into being able to, just like we talk about always, get the most out of each session.
But we should send this to Mason.
We should.
Do you think you'd be like, freaked out by
my thought is like, what the fuck is this?
Like, he just turns around and there's like two guys just like, oh, look at his knee, look how high it is to his chest.
look how mobile his hip is. Sorry, Mason. This is purely educational, this is not sexual. Educational.
Dude. Man, I really hope it gets to him. We're gonna find some contact that can get in touch with Mason and give it to him, see what he says. And I guess one thing as well that we didn't really touch on, because there's not really that much long-held tricks in Mason's part. Like, he doesn't do, like, super long ledge tricks, or... I don't think there's any manis in his part. Oh, no, there's a couple of manis where he does, like, on that kind of weird bank with the gaps, and he does, like, front shove nose mani, I think, over. So, yeah, obviously, like, a huge part of stability as well is something that's essential for skating. When it comes down to like holding long slides, holding grinds, everything like this is basically your balance and your ability to like stabilize yourself in that trick. You don't have that ability to like, you know, really kind of solidify your body and stay in the position that you're trying to stay in. Then yeah, you're not gonna land your trick, mate. Your balance, mate, is gonna be going all over the place.
I was gonna say a good example. It's funny because it just kind of popped. Like, the video's playing and it just kind of popped. If you want to go to 414 or 408. So, like, this board slide, being able to, boom, like, being able to hit that kink in the rail and be able to maintain the stability and the balance between the two feet, that is such a huge part, a huge result of, number one, ankle stability, knee stability, hip stability. But this is also a great time to bring in your core, all the surrounding muscles that are... like at your stomach level, that basically stabilize your spine, that keep your hips in line. If he's got a weak core or a core that isn't made to stabilize, then he's not going to be able to keep everything balanced. The core kind of connects everything, and that's where it comes in as far as stability goes. Is it absorbs force, it allows you to create force in a controlled way, and it keeps everything in line, so you're not having to stabilize unnecessary movement while you're trying to balance and complete the tricks.
If you've got that solid core, it allows your legs to basically like push off the core as well to like generate force. In this clip, he's basically doing like a board slide out, and then there's like a drop down into this second rail with a kink on the end. But like he board slide gaps out, drops down, and he completely like shifts his weight forwards. If we could rate a handrail on like sack risk level, man, this is like an 11.
There's off the charts. It's off the charts.
There's so many like sack potentials. Man, imagine like sticking on the top and then flying down and sacking yourself on the kink on the bottom. Dude, that would absolutely, like, your ball would shoot out of your fucking pants and like fly down the road. It would literally explode. This is
like this is like a classic rail too for like bailing forwards and like not having your feet underneath you and just like fucking eating it, like hands, like face, scorpion. Just like that's a classic one that could definitely happen. But that's the thing, it's like you can tell he's paying attention and his body's his body's doing what it asks it. Like it, the reason why it looks so beautiful and so controlled is because he has all of these things that we're talking about. He's got the mobility, flexibility, he's got the core strength and control. He's got the stability and the balance to be able to hit it and not lose his posture. This is it, man. This is good stuff.
Yeah, this is a perfect example of like all of those things combined together. We've pretty much gone over all of the systems that we're going to go over now. We're just going to hit on a final couple of little points about like the benefits of training and like why you might want to do it. And this is some stuff that actually surprised me. Like when I started working out and when I started like doing a load of different movements, I didn't really ever think that there was going to be carryover to my skating outside of the stuff we've been talking about, like building strength and stuff like this. But yeah, like other benefits that came along with working out was, for example, the extra awareness that the different movements and the different exercises I would do and how they would influence how my body moves when I skate. So I don't know if I explained that well, so I'll give you some examples. For example, with a squat, yeah, like with a barbell on my back, to do that movement, you've got to go down like perfectly straight. You can't lean forward too much, you can't lean backwards too much, otherwise you're just gonna like stack it. And this then carried over when I was skating and I was like going down to pop my different tricks and I would be messing up a certain trick that I was trying and it hit me, they're like, oh shit, I'm kind of leaning forwards too much, you know, or maybe like I was leaning back too much. Then I applied that kind of like awareness that I'd learned through the exercise of, okay, needing to stay right over my board and really like stabilize myself, like stay centered. And it gave me like a completely new realm of ways to improve my skating.
A huge thing that gets brought up, especially in American athletics, is like this early specialization, like people, parents putting kids into sports, like one sport specifically really, really early on, and then only putting them in that sport for their, you know, their sport careers. And the discussion is like how much that limits that kid's or that person's like ability to perform those skills in the sport. And you would think, well, like what does one thing have to do with the other? But it's so much of it is, like you said, like that gain in awareness, being able to feel what your body feels like in a context that's not skateboarding. And being able to feel like, oh, like when I squat, like I feel what feels good, like if I keep my chest back, or if I situate myself this way, or if I put my foot in this position. Being able to have that other side of it carries over, because like you said, you take those skills, those things, that new level of awareness, and you're able to apply it to skateboarding. So I'll give an example. Like I played tennis my whole young life, and so much hand-eye coordination, so much like change of direction, and like the whole thing is real. I'll use hand-eye coordination as the example. Basically the whole thing is hand-eye coordination. Fast forward to me playing football, I was put in the receiver position because I had the best hands on the team. I could catch every single ball. And that was because I had the background from tennis that I had trained my ability to like watch things in, focus on the object. But if you would have, like most people would be like, tennis has nothing to do with football. Zero things. But it's like, yeah, it fucking does. Because that, like that one thing, having that edge from the other sport put me at a way higher performance level than if I didn't have it. And like that's a long way of saying these things like training have those extra benefits in that they like produce a level of awareness and they train the body in a little bit of a different way than skateboarding would if you were only skateboarding.
Yeah, man, that's so interesting. You should skate transition or something, skate vert. You got that hand-eye coordination, you get all those grabs locked in.
That's what I'm saying. But I'm scared of heights.
Going into the last little bit we're going to cover, this is about thinking of consistency from a different angle. So like often when we think of consistency, we think of like just going out, practicing your trick over and over again and just repeating it, right? And just that's the only way that we really think of getting things unlocked. But based on all the shit that we've just talked about, there's actually like another realm of possibilities to really like increase your consistency. It kind of hit me the other day, because one thing that's super important to remember with all of these different things that we've talked about is that basically you lose what you don't use. So let's say Mason, for some reason, wakes up tomorrow and he's like, oh, you know what? I just want to skate mini ramp. That's just what I want to do. I just want to become a mini ramp skater. But then a few months into the future, he wakes up and he's like, fuck, what was I thinking, man? What was I fucking thinking? Like, you know, I like to skate gaps and I like to go fast and all this kind of shit. But like he's had that so much time skating the mini ramp that now he's probably not going to be able to do half the shit that he could do before, because like all of those systems have become untrained and detrained. That can affect your consistency on so many different ways. I mean, let's say you just don't have the ability to create energy for the length of session that you want to skate. Your consistency is going to go down. Let's say like for whatever reason, like you've been skating lower ledges for like a month or so, and then you go out and you try and like film a trick on a higher ledge. But because you haven't been practicing skating that higher ledge, so it's going to be much harder for you to pop the trick into that ledge. So your consistency is going to go down. And the same goes as well with like skating gaps. So let's say after an injury, you get back to skating and you try and jump back into like skating gaps, you're going to have lost the necessary strength to be able to actually like skate those gaps, you know? Yep. So yeah, a key area to think about when it comes down to like increasing your consistency is not just tricks, it's also like making sure that you're challenging each of these different systems on a regular basis so they don't fade away and you don't lose those adaptations that you've created.
100%. The body will only adapt to what it's given. Will never adapt to what it's not given, because it wasn't given it. So never had a chance.
If you just sit on your fat ass all day long, your body's going to adapt and get better at sitting.
Yes, 100%.
Your body will literally get better at anything that you do. So like if you're doing shit that maybe doesn't benefit what you want to get better at, you're going to get better at that thing that you don't want to get better at. All right, so that is it. That is the end of the podcast. So yeah, like we said, we're going to be doing, this is part one. Part two is going to be dropping, I was about to say next week, but it probably won't.
Smart
it's
man.
It's going to be dropping soon though, so like hold tight. And in that podcast, we're just going to be going deep into like all of the different ways that you can actually train all of these different things that we've been talking about. If you're still thinking, like, even after all of this, even if we still haven't sold it to you, you still aren't going to get on board, get that free umbrella that we talked about, that's fine, because we're also going to be giving a lot of like skate examples of how you can train these different systems as well. Because like we said at the start, key piece of information, if you don't skate, then you're not going to get better at skating. You know what I mean? So we're going to be not only giving examples on like different exercises that you can do to like cover all these different systems as well, we'll be giving you some like skate examples and yeah, different ways that you can train it just through skating. So people don't even have to know you're skating. You don't even have to know you're skating. People don't even have to know you're training. And you don't even have to know you're training, you know? You can just be going out, skating, and then boom, you wake up like a boss, like Mason Silva.
Like Mason Silva, popping those hard flips, tucking that knee, building a resilient body. That's the key here. Why are we doing this? Get strong so you can skate longer, skate harder. That's the key.
We also want to add a little like question and answer section as well. So if you guys want to send us your questions that you have related to anything performance, recovery, health, training related, like send us your questions, drop them in the comment section on, I guess, YouTube comment section. Drop your comments in there, drop us some questions, and we'll do a little like question answer section at the end. And yeah, if you want to follow either of us on Instagram, you can get me at the.daily.push, and you can get Seb at, what is it? Sebastian
underscore performance on the gram.
There we go. So I'll be putting the links for both of these in the comment section, in the description, sorry. And yeah, there we go. That's it. So
thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot. And stay tuned for the next episode coming soon. Peace.
Peace.